Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Runners World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're speaking with Ashley Harwood from the London Front Runners.
How you been, Rick?
I've been well, thank you. Yeah, I've been well. I've been running, adding a little bit of bit more speed into my week, which has felt good actually. I've kind of probably lost touch a little bit with quicker, harder running, and it's just invigorating, isn't it? I know obviously in the moment you're a bit like, oh, another rep, that's awful. Like, I can't think of anything that I'd like to do less, but I think the rush afterwards and the kind of the energizing effect that these sort of sessions have on you is great, and it sort of started. It's got me dreaming again a little bit about doing some decent races times. And running some decent times.
Is all your training angled towards our half marathon in September?
Well, yeah, it is in some ways. I'm struggling to get enough time to do a long run, but I'm hoping that. Robbie Britton, who we've got had on a few times, says lots of interesting stuff about this stuff, but he's like, your training isn't necessarily like, say you like, you and I have both been running for, let's say roughly 10 years each or whatever. Now you can say, oh, well, I've only trained for 10 weeks for a half marathon, but actually you've been training for, like, fairly consistently for 10 years. And so some of this endurance stuff, I mean, I'm probably trying to like talk myself into
perfect
into
I'm also buying into it, keep going.
Yeah, but actually, you know, like I say, well, if you look at my training over the last 4 years, well, you know, I've done a few ultra marathons, so I have actually done some longer running. It's all there. It's not like I'm starting from scratch. And I think that's, if anyone's listening and kind of has been running for a while but is worried that they're not as fit as they once were, I do think actually this history of exercise that we all rack up are, you know, eventually makes a big difference. So you're never going in completely cold unless you haven't been running for years and years.
True, but you know, even now, I mean, we've had news stories recently of guys, I think it was a senior master, maybe he set a, you know, ran a 34-minute 10K, set a new record, and he had a 20-year hiatus.
Wow.
From running before he even did that. Wow. So there you go, you know, you can take breaks. You can take small breaks, like 20 years, and still be fine.
Have 20 years off. Yep. How about you, mate? Because obviously we're both going for the big half, aren't we?
We are.
It'd be nice to sort of run, you know, run it roughly the same pace. That's what I'm
it's going to be a lot more work for me to keep up with you than anything else, but I think if
you've got all the shoes, haven't you?
Absolutely an abundance of shoes. The shoes I mentioned in the last episode are the Alpha Fly Next Percent 2, which I've got. Also have tested the Puma Velocity Elite, I think they're called, and then also the Adidas Pro 3. So I mean, if anything, Rick, I think carbon fiber might save me. Yeah. But
Wolverine over there.
Hey, head to runnersworld.com/UK for all of your latest carbon running shoes updates. But no, it's been good. We've got an episode coming soon with the master of training, Tom Craggs, which is about 80-20 method.
Yes.
Which you'll hear soon. And I sort of went out and on my commute the other day, we talk about how you utilize each session. It's not on a low mileage sort of week, if you can utilize each session to sort of combine the 80-20 principles rather than separating the week firmly into sort of blocks of just easy and then just hard, if that's what you need to do. So on my commute the other day, it was a very easy commute. That's about 9 miles and I did the first eight. It all 7.5 very easy, and then the last bit I tried to go as fast as possible. So you know, I had the sort of bit of that end of run fatigue plus effort, and that felt good to try and switch it on after some time on feet rather than sort of the direct going to doing some reps and that sort of side of stuff. So it's beginning, but I haven't got a plan yet. I need to get an actual plan. I don't know if you, if you've got, but like I need to work out the weeks that are coming and how much and when to train, because at the moment I'm sort of guessing at it, and that's not going to get me. That's just not going to get me there.
It's funny. I think the world's divided into, because I never like training to a plan, mate. And I think that's not saying I'm right. I just feel,
oh,
like,
so I'm lazy.
I know roughly what, like,
yeah.
And I feel like I know what the ingredients of a plan are. And one thing I really don't like with running, to feel like I've to be prescribed to.
Yeah, for sure.
So I really like the idea that I'm in charge of plan. Even if basically what I end up doing is what a coach would say, there's part of me that if I've got like, oh no, somebody's telling me I've got to do that, it really stresses me out. So I'd just rather be like, yeah, I'm not really following a plan, but I sort of am.
But you sort of are. Because I mean, this is, I think we've done enough to know what sessions are valuable and what aren't. And even this morning, Rick, I went out. I managed to find an old iPod Shuffle in the drawer. Do you remember those?
Amazing run companion. I bet there's a bit of people listening who still got a Shuffle, because it was so light, wasn't it?
Basically, I got like it. It works. It's not dead. Brilliant. I fired it up. And so this morning I went out with my Casio on and my Shuffle.
Oh, mate.
And it was, I mean, it was beautiful. And I ran for 43 minutes. I have no idea how far or how fast I ran.
Lovely.
I listened to some... whenever I wanted
Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, I went full retrograde. No, I'd had a couple of podcasts on, not this podcast. I'm not that insane. You know, absolute whatever that. Yeah,
just
not,
egotism.
Egotism on me if I was listening to our own podcast. And I just had a bit of that whenever I needed the distraction. But yeah, it was lovely. It was great. So
nice.
That's completely unstructured. So maybe that's the future. But no, I need to organize my week more. My weeks. That's good, and that's going to see me through. I think I would like a bit of structure now.
Yeah, fair enough. I think most people do, actually. Jane definitely is someone who likes a plan, isn't it?
Loves a plan. Well,
hey, look, a quick little bit of science before we get Ash on to talk about London Front Runners.
Yeah.
So this
love
is
it.
About, we all know about coffee. So coffee, obviously lots of people like coffee, me too.
I love a coffee.
So coffee consumption up to 4 cups a day is linked to longer life. We know that. That's been out for a while. And coffee's also like a performance enhancer. We know that. It was actually on the banned substance list for many years for that reason. Yes, but a new investigation looked at what happens if you add sugar to coffee. So does that actually get rid of all the kind of life-enhancing effects? And actually, it found that no, it doesn't. With or without sugar, coffee appeared to be protective. Unfortunately, not so for artificial sweetness. If you're adding artificial sweetness, you're getting rid of some of the life-extending benefits of coffee. But moderate consumption of unsweetened and sugar-sweetened coffee was associated with lower risk of death, said the researchers. So there you go. If you're adding a little bit of sugar to your coffee...
How many sugars?
I think we're talking like one. Do you know what I mean? I think like that's moderate, isn't it?
That's
you're
fine.
Like 4
I once saw a man empty 8 bags of sugar into a coffee once. I mean, that's not good for you, is it? I mean, that's a sugar high that... Not even I could contend with.
Yeah, I don't know if we've got time for this, but I've got. There's one other study that we've chatted about, and it's on your running watch and how your running watch, despite the fact you may have had to remortgage your house to pay for it, it doesn't actually know how much recovery you need. And this new study suggests what the watch's estimates have some fundamental flaws. Mainly that is it overvalues duration and undervalues intensity when it comes to recovery. So
this is someone who's looked into like the algorithms that predict recovery. So you finish a run and it says, well done, 48 hours to after that run, you'll be better.
Yeah, that long, easy run, you're going to need 48 hours. And then, oh, that incredibly tough 1 mile speed session you did, oh, you recover in like 10 minutes.
Got it.
But there's another way of working it out. It's probably a little bit involved for this, but it will be coming out in run as well. But most of the kind of... the metrics used for currently, yes, overvalue those kind of longer sessions. But another way of doing it would be to think about recovery. And if you after your session, say you did a time trial before your session, say you did like 5 minutes, as far as you can go in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you did your session.
Yeah.
And then you had to do that time trial again. What effect would your session have on that time? So, for instance, like, say you do your 5-minute time trial, you had 40 minutes of jogging, and then you did, you'd probably be roughly the same in that time trial. You wouldn't be a big difference. But if you tried to do it, say, after, you know, your best 5K effort,
Yes.
And then try to run 5 minutes. You'd be significantly slower, probably up to a minute, you know. Slower, or however you want to work it out. So that's another way of looking at it. I think we're going to do something on the website on this just to really bring it to life to people. But it's quite interesting. And I think just as a general thing is actually it doesn't really value intensity high enough, and it probably does the opposite with stuff that's a bit kind of longer and easier.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I actually don't really prescribe to what it tells me in terms of recovery, but I'm sure lots of people do.
You think recovery is such a complex, like, multifaceted thing, isn't it? And I think it's a little bit unrealistic in some ways to just outsource that to a watch. I think there's too many things, that are, like, too many metrics, and there'll just be this kind of crude simplification that goes on, and it's like that actually isn't ever going to be accurate.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the great thing about running without a watch, which I've been doing now for a good, probably a couple of years, Rick, you know, taking myself off without a watch, is the understanding of what feels good and what doesn't. And it really, really, it really, really connects you with that sense of like, this feels comfortable at this pace, or this actually feels uncomfortable. And nothing's telling me otherwise, as in I'm not relying on my watch to confirm or deny what I'm feeling. An easy pace can be literally as easy as you want to go, and it doesn't have to be a set number. And it's all those sorts of things where you disconnect yourself from a metric, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, I mean, that run might have been very slow, but I don't know. Like, or you do know because you learn what that feels like, but you still don't actively know what you were doing. So I can imagine that that's exactly what separating yourself from something telling you how long to recover for does as well.
Yeah, totally.
Well, so much. Gosh, Rick, that was it's a whole double dose of science.
Double dose of science there. Hey, if any listeners, let us know what you think. Do you think your watch is getting it wrong with recovery? Has it been telling you that you need less or too much? Let us know. podcast@runnersworld.co.uk. We should probably get our guest of the week on, Ben. What do you think?
Yes, let's do it. Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
So we're joined this week by Ash Harwood, who's co-president of the London Front Runners, a running club for the LGBTQ+ community. So Ash, welcome to the Runners World podcast. For anyone who's not familiar with Front Runners, I mean, can you give us a very brief sort of overview of what Front Runners is?
Of course. So the London Front Runners are a LGBTQ+ running group. For people within the LGBTQ+ community that want to run, essentially. It's as simple as that.
There you go, Rick. Simple.
keep it easy.
Exactly. It was 2019 that we last spoke to London Front Runners. And obviously since then we've had COVID and the likes. How has the club developed, changed, adapted in the sort of subsequent years that we last spoke to you guys?
It's been tough because with the club, you've always got that sense of community. And obviously, as we went into lockdown, you can't run because you couldn't be close. You couldn't be within proximity of each other. So for a long time, all club activities were halted. But I use the term community as a massive piece because I joined the club 3 years ago and I've made my best friends there. And so it was a piece that how do you make the Front Runners go virtual? Well, it's maintaining that social side of things, it's maintaining that community side of things. But post-COVID now, well, post-COVID, touch wood, like we've come back fighting. Like, we're back to our full capacity. We've got the most members that we've ever had, and it's almost like people took up running during COVID and now they want to continue it and be part of the Front Runners community.
We always hear with the Front Runners how brilliant the social side is. Do you think that's kind of one of the areas that sets it apart, perhaps from a more, maybe what we think of as a kind of old-fashioned traditional running club?
Yeah, I think it's one that, let's be honest, with 565 members, when I last checked, you're always going to find somebody that you gel with. You're always going to find somebody that you really get on with. And there's always going to be someone that's better at running than you, someone that's going to be worse at running than you, someone that's going to be on parity with you. So it's something that with every single run we do, there is a social aspect. So my highlight of my week is a Saturday because I do a long run on a Saturday And like yesterday, there were a group of 25 of us running a half marathon together. And you're together for 2 or 3 hours because you're running together. And then you go for lunch together. Then you go to the pub together. Then you go out. So it's just such a sense of community and that warmness of support and egging each other on almost.
I think the significance of people having a safe space that they can partake in, say, running or any other sort of pastime or sport or anything like that. How important is it for the front runners to be a safe space for the LGBTQ plus community? I mean, and how intrinsic is that to everything that you do?
I mean, it's absolutely everything that we do. Like, so I say I joined the club in 2019, and it took me a long, long time to get the confidence to actually join the club, because I didn't. It's quite nerve-wracking to break into a group of 500 people. So it was really nerve-wracking at first, and best decision that I ever made, because I've got that sense of community. I've got people that have been through the same, have got the same story. Everyone's story is individual, but have got similar stories and that kind of sense to for support. At the same time, for 95% of the club, it is a safe space. For 90% of the 5% of the club, like, you feel completely included, completely welcome. There's always that challenge of somebody that has been through trouble, that has. So, for example, we have got less non-binary athletes or less trans athletes. So we want to ensure that that is a shared the experiences that I've had and the majority of the members are shared experiences throughout the whole club. So I think that kind of community aspect and that inclusion aspect is above everything else.
When you mentioned trans athletes there, Ash, like, what are some of the things, like practical things that you do to try to be as welcoming as possible for members of that community? Is it stuff when it comes to kind of changing rooms, or I'm just thinking of some of the kind of practical things that could happen?
Yeah, so I mean, when we kind of market the club in quotation marks, like, one of the first things we say is we are open to anyone regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation or gender identity. Now, when an individual joins the club, they are completely free to self-gender. So it is, you can be male, female, non-binary, trans, etc., etc. So that there's that kind of removal of any barrier there. At the same time, we have done a full kind of, you use the example of changing spaces. We have done full audits of all our changing spaces, for example, to ensure that there are gender-neutral bathrooms, that there are safe spaces within changing rooms, that, for example, if you go into a changing room, there is private cubicle changing for people that may not feel comfortable or want to feel, have that extra level of safety, let's say. So we are putting every layer in process to make it as inclusive as possible. And at the same time, we are continually talking to our trans members, our non-binary members, because we can always do better. Like, I'm looking at it from a cisgender male perspective. Now, speaking to my members, or my members, speaking to the members to understand their experiences and what we can do better to make them feel as included as possible is right at the top of my priority list.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's crucial for any club, isn't it? The evolution of how you progress and welcome people into the space that is running is going to be key to your survival, really.
Exactly. I mean, ultimately, when you talk about kind of, it's interesting because you talk about being an LGBTQ plus running club. So you'd think that there is kind of that diversity side of things. Now, within the club, yes, we are, but we also want to ensure that long-term, there's that inclusivity. So you could go out and target certain groups to get more members, for example, but we want to ensure that when we have those members, everybody has that uplifting, enriched experience of feeling truly included and feeling, yeah, this is the family that I choose to have.
Can you tell us about your Pride Run 10K? Because I know this is a sort of the big flagship event for front runners, isn't it? So where is it? When is it? And why is it so good?
You're testing my testament. I did write this one down to make sure I got all the right information. So the Pride Run is an annual event held in Victoria Park in London. It's a 10-kilometer fun run open to all. There is also a 2-kilometer fun run for the kids to make sure that everybody can take part. It's on the 17th of September this year. So get your tickets. You can sign up online. Just type Pride Run Victoria Park and it'll pop up. And I just think it is one of those events that the feeling, it's like going to a pride parade. the feeling of love, the feeling of excitement, the feeling of community is overwhelming. And I go and just, I see families there, I see friends there, I see the support. And if you can get all of that while at the same time getting fit, I think it's a pretty good balance, because we have so many people. Like, if you look at our members, a lot of our members are pretty, like, strong runners. We also have a lot of entry-level runners that join the club to kind of just get fit. So it's things that the Pride Run, for example, is a 10K. So it's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity for people to get fit at the same time as really have a good laugh and have good fun.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I mean, you mentioned Pride, and it is Pride Month. So what does Pride mean to the London Front Runners? What as an event, as a time of the year, as a movement, how significant is Pride?
More significant than I ever realized when I first joined. And what I mean by that is we have such a diversity of age, and that's probably the best thing I've experienced being in the club. So I'm 28 years old myself. We've got members that are 38, 48, 58, 68, 78. We've got full range. And speaking to those members, like, the different experiences that we have experienced is eye-opening. Speaking to the members that grew up in the 1980s through the AIDS epidemic and hearing their stories and having them come out the other side. So I suppose for the front runners, Pride is about celebration. Pride is about community. Pride is about love. Pride is about having that safe space where you've got a community of people, regardless of sex, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of age, where you can celebrate being you and you can be proud of being you, as I said earlier, while at the same time getting fit and meeting new people with shared interests.
That's great. What do you think, though, are some of the kind of the biggest barriers that might be facing people from the LGBTQ plus community when it comes to getting into running or joining a club?
I think the biggest barrier for me was the fear that everyone's going to be better than me. The fear that everybody is going to be different from me. And when you break into a huge group of people, there is that, oh God, I feel alone. And it's breaking into a new group of people, like, regardless of whether it's front runners, regardless of whether it is another group. And I suppose the challenge of the front runners is that because we're such a tight, tight knit group of friends, and there are pockets of friendships throughout, it can be quite difficult to break into that. Now, from kind of the diversity perspective, as you mentioned, that can be a challenge because for some reason, and we are doing a lot of work to understand this, but for some reason, the balance swings to male identifying as opposed to female identifying. So we've got a lot more male members, for example. So it theoretically could be quite nerve-wracking if you're a female identifying runner joining a club where it's where they're this majority male. But that's where we're doing a lot of work to understand the culture of our club, understand the member the membership viewpoint of our club, and really champion that aspect. So yes, you could theoretically target, let's say target female groups to get more female runners, but we want to make sure that we've got an environment and a culture where everybody feels that they can be part of that club, regardless, as I say, of their individual differences.
And when you sort of talk about, as you say, you're working constantly towards making the club a better space and a bigger thing. What are the future plans and ambitions for the London Front Runners?
I mean, I think the sky is the limit on that one. It's one that I want to say, but I don't want to get quoted on it. I think we are the biggest LGBT sports club in Europe.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I would love to have a space where everybody knows about the Front Runners, where everybody feels that they can join and be part of it from the kind of community aspect. As I say, for me, best thing that I ever did. Like, I've made my best friends from that. So as a co-president, I want to make sure that every single member feels that they have that shared experience, feels that they are loved, cared about, thought about, included. At the same time, from an individual perspective, I want to, A, make sure everyone is reaching their full potential. So giving the tools, giving them the kind of the opportunities to go from here to here to, I know it's a podcast, you can't see it, to go from point A to point B and strive to reach their best opportunity. But at the same time, we are continually looking at the end of the day, we are a running club and we do want to train. So we're investing into coaches, we're investing into training plans. We're looking at, for example, having and it's not confirmed, but looking at structured couch to 5K to make sure that you get as many new runners in as possible. Because when you are an established running club, it's quite daunting to just join and be like, right, off you go, do a 10K. But if we can have a structured plan with qualified coaches to make sure that we are as succinct, as supportive as possible, I think that creates a great environment to achieve. Hmm. And who knows, we might have runners winning the Olympics one day.
Wow.
Well, let's talk about Olympic runners then, because obviously
good segue.
Dame Kelly Holmes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Dame Kelly Holmes came out over the weekend, and obviously she had been something that she'd been planning to do for a while. But I feel like it obviously is a nerve-wracking experience for lots of people. As someone who's in this community, Ash, can you explain kind of what some of the some of the trepidation around coming out and what that kind of what that can feel like for people?
Yeah, I came out 10 years ago. So even 10 years ago, it was a very different world then to what it is now. But at the same time, if you imagine, I came out at the age of 18. I knew I was gay at 13 years old. So you therefore have 5 or 6 years, or till whenever you have the confidence to come out, of fear. You're hiding who you truly are. You're not being your true self. And therefore, you almost build up the fear and the anticipation of what may be or what may not be. So I had my teenage years were horrible because you're living a lie. Eventually, pardon the pun, but you burst out of the closet. And for me, I had a brilliant experience. My friends were incredibly supportive. My family were incredibly supportive. But because of those years where I was closeted and I wasn't my true self, you do still build that fear and you build a stereotype. So I came out at 18. I didn't join the London Front Runners, for example, until I was 25 years old, or 24. The reason was because I built this fear of, if I join a gay group or an LGBTQ+ group, I'm going to become kind of swallowed up by the gay community. And I had all these fears that I was going to become a stereotype, let's say. Couldn't have been more different. And as I said before, I wish I had joined when I was 18, 19, 20, because the Front Runners are the family that I choose to have. The Front Runners are the family that are there for the highs, for the lows, for the sadness, for the happiness. And it's a group of individuals that have had all the same experience. they've all gone through the fear, or we've all gone through the fear of what will my family say? We've gone through the fear of what's my life going to be like? We've gone through the fear of, am I going to get married? Am I going to have kids? And it's just that understanding that, yeah, we're gay. Yeah, we're bisexual. Yeah, we're lesbians. Yeah, we're non-binary. Whatever our things that make us unique are, but we are one. And that is the best thing that has ever come out of joining the Frontrunners.
Oh, it's great to hear you talk about in those terms, Ash. I think that's, yeah, your passion for it really comes across, I think. And it's international, right, as well. There's Frontrunners around the globe, aren't there? There's like these kind of, I think we call it like clubs, like in Edinburgh and
yep.
the US, is that right? Yeah.
Oh, it's, and we will always welcome international Frontrunners. So we have, so it was International Frontrunners Week last week. So there were runs and celebrations throughout the world, but it is one that, for example, a couple of years ago, I went to New York. I went on as a solo trip, and before I went, I got in contact with the New York Frontrunners and said, "Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm a London Frontrunner. I'd love to come and join your club for a run." And you've immediately made 50 new friends because they welcome you with open arms. You introduce yourself. You go for brunch afterwards, and it's a worldwide community. Whether you're going to Sydney, whether you're going to New York, whether you're going to Boston, whether you're going to Phoenix, whether you're going to Edinburgh, all over Paris, like all over the world, we've got this inclusive community.
That's phenomenal.
So good. Yeah. So like it's like a cut above what most running clubs are offering, isn't it? Because it's like, right, there are these ready-made communities for you to where you've got a shared interest, and you can making socializing a little bit easier.
Exactly. We can continually learn from other clubs as well. So take the New York Frontrunners, for example, who are the biggest Frontrunners group, and I would love to get to that level one day. But they've got a really established walking group. So they have the walking group for runners that are either retired or going through injury or just don't want to run, but want to have that social aspect. And we are, like the London Frontrunners, are very much in the infancy of having a walking group. We kind of started it up for people that have recovering from injury, and it's at the point of trying to get it off the ground. So that is one of the next levels, to make sure that we have the social runs for those that want to run but not compete. We have club runs for people that want to compete. We have cross country, we have trail runs, we have races, but for rehabilitation, we also have that walking group. So it's one of those, we're trying to appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
Ash, where would anyone who listens to this want to find out more information? Where should they go?
So we've got our Frontrunners website. So it's www.londonfrontrunners.org. And there you've got all the information. So we've got all that information on the website. We run on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. We have trail runs on Sunday, all across London. So there is something for everybody, whether you want to run, whether you want to socialise, whether you want to train for a race. With the London Marathon coming up in October, I lead a long run on a Saturday. So that's a great opportunity to drive that training. And if you want to find any more information out, you can email info@londonfrontrunners.org, and we will be happy to share as much information as you want and welcome you with open arms.
Ash, thanks so much for coming on the Runners World podcast. Absolutely great to talk to you about London Frontrunners and what it means to you and what the hopes are for the future. So thanks very much for your time.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. I appreciate it.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. A huge thanks to our guest, Ash Harwood, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to Runners World magazine, head to the internet and search Runners World UK subscriptions, then that magazine will arrive at your house every single month. You can also go on the internet, runnersworld.com/UK, and find all your running needs on the internet. That's what we do. We do running on the internet as well. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We're going to assume you subscribed already, but if you haven't, please do subscribe, share it with your friends, and have a fantastic rest of your week, and you'll hear from us next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.